When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The homelessness crisis in the UK is a massive talking point, particularly at wintertime. Figures released by the charity Shelter in November 2017 estimated that as many as one in every 200 people are officially recorded as homeless or living in inadequate homes. But even without all the data, you can still see it. Every time you go out to a city centre, particularly at nighttime, you can see rough sleepers trying to make the best of the hand they have been dealt. However, part of the problem with reporting homelessness in the news is that the story is usually told through statistics, with articles jam-packed, full of data that can be very hard to consume. This time, we're doing it differently. You're about to hear from KJ. This isn't his real name, as he has asked us to hide his identity. However, while his name isn't real, his voice and his story are very much his own. KJ was homeless for 7 years after his mental health problems spiralled out of control. It all stemmed from a severe accident at work, and he eventually wound up sleeping out in the open wherever he could. Perhaps unsurprisingly, he turned to drink and drugs as he looked for a way to numb the pain. But one day, enough was enough, and he reached out for help. The charity, Chess Homeless, who are based in Chelmsford, were there to give KJ the support he needed. It was far from easy, but eventually KJ got himself out of his predicament with the helping hand he received, and he's now on his way back to getting his life on track. Brought to you by Essex Live, this is Humans of Chelmsford, and this is KJ's story. KJ, thanks very much for letting us delve into your own personal story about you being homeless and how you've come out of it. So to start off with, let's go back to the very beginning of your ordeal. Just tell us what it was that caused you to end up in the difficult situation that you found yourself in.
Well, if we go back to the start, it all started with an industrial accident that I had at work. I had a lot of injuries, so that was not a good start for my journey. I then had a few bereavements in the family, which on top of that was another problem, and then I lost my wife, kids, house, everything that you own materially, you know, which is another problem, and it just sort of piled up from there, really. You know,
so you say you lost your wife and your kids and your house. Was that a build-up of all the mental health problems that you were experiencing as a result of your accident?
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like I was in a fuzzy felt land. You know, everything was going on, and I was just sort of going through the motions, and one thing was building up after another, it was a mental health breakdown.
For those who don't know, what was your accident that you suffered, and what were the injuries that occurred as a result?
I actually fell from a building that I was working on. I fell down probably 30, 35 feet, and as I was falling, I grabbed hold of a window frame, and it broke my fall and probably saved my life. But, you know, it, the lacerations on my fingers and my arms and that, I jarred my back and my neck, done my knee in. I fractured my other wrist. So both of my hands were basically injured. So, yeah, it was, that was sort of like the build-up through all them things I had, you know.
And obviously you found yourself homeless in the end.
Yeah.
When you find yourself in that situation, do you feel like a failure?
I suppose looking back, yeah, I do, you know. But in that moment, no, because I, to be honest with you, I didn't know what was going on. I'd, you know, so many things shooting through my head that I couldn't keep track of one thing alone. So, but looking back in hindsight, yeah, I was a failure. I can see that.
So was, when you were homeless, you were kind of floating between living on the streets and, you know, sleeping on people's sofas and things like that. What is it actually like living out there on the streets, you know, when it's really cold or in the winter and things like that?
Wow. You know, it's one of them things where you think you're never going to end up, and, you know, you're out there and it's, you're on your own. You know, all you got is a bag and a tent and a, you know, and a few biscuits to carry on with, and you're out there, and, you know, it's a lonely existence, you know, because at the start there was nobody there for me, so that's what I thought my life was going to be, just a hobo, in fact, you know. So yeah, it's scary as well, you know. I mean, I'm not the sort of person who's worried about anyone in particular, but when you're going through the homelessness and you're out on the street, you're vulnerable. That's basically the biggest word you can use for it. You're vulnerable, mm-hmm. you know, because you don't know who's lurking around. You don't know who you're going to encounter. You just don't know, you know.
I think that's one of the big things, because when you've got a home, you take that security aspect yes, for granted.
You do.
But as soon as those walls are removed.
Yes.
And you're out in the open. That's something entirely different.
You're like you're naked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're like, you're standing in the street naked,
totally exposed.
You are, mm-hmm. unbelievably.
And perhaps understandably, you ended up going down the drug route, and,
yeah.
and a lot of problems in that way.
Yeah.
Were they just thrown to you, or was it, you know, people trying to force them upon you?
In the beginning, it was more myself, because I wanted something to numb what was going on in my life. So I reached out and started taking cocaine and drinking and smoking cannabis, you know, whatever I could get hold of, really, to suppress my feelings. But once people knew that I was a vulnerable, then it was pushed on me. It was, you know, I didn't have to phone anyone up. They just turned up and threw it at me. So yeah, you know, people can manipulate you in that way.
People took advantage.
They took advantage. They take advantage of people who are vulnerable. You know, they know that they can make some money off you. They will do anything to do that, you know, without anything barred, you know, that feelings for that person, you know, which is quite disgusting, really, when you look back, you know. Although I wanted that. You know, there was no problem with me taking the drugs at the time, because I needed them to self-medicate, you know. And that was my way of getting through that stage, you know. But, yeah, after, I mean, it was thrown at me, you know, for no reason.
You were you were homeless for 7 years.
Yeah.
How do you go through each day at a time? Do you set yourself little goals each day that just keep you focused in one way or another? Or are you just living in this dream world? It's nightmare world.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what you say. I was living in a bubble at the start. You know, all I was concerned about is myself and getting the drugs and whatever to make me feel better. So, you know, you do live in a bubble. I think after a time where you kind of don't get the drugs and it sort of, you come out of that. You come out of the mist of the trees. And then you sort of like, there's a bit of reality there, and you think, well, what am I doing? Why am I dressed like this? Why have I not shaved? Why do I not bath? Why am I living? Why am I sleeping on a muddy floor in an old blanket? What in the world? So, yeah, it does. But until you actually come out of that mist, you know, there is no goals. There is no day-to-day basis. It's just you in that bubble.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, we come on to the charity, Chelmsford Chess, kindly helped us set up this interview.
Yeah.
At what point was it when you reached out to them for help?
What I actually did was I was living under a bridge, and one day I was completely sober, and I thought to myself, what am I doing? So I stood up, I kicked everything in the river, and I took myself off to detox myself because I knew that I wasn't going to get any help from anywhere else, so I managed to do it myself in a way. So as I was coming out of the detox, then I thought to myself, I need somewhere to stay, I need some sort of structure, and I came across Chess through I forget how it was now. I think it was because I went to the council and I think I was recommended, but you know, that was a step that kind of saved my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if I hadn't have reached out and they hadn't have supported me in all the ways that they have, I would not be here today. And that is God's honest truth.
And one of the things we talked about just before we started recording is that Chess actually listened to you.
They
which
did.
Is one of the big things.
Because hallelujah.
Not everyone does that, do
no.
they?
No, you're right, they don't. There's a, you know, like we were saying before, you know, you can tell someone your problem and they completely turn it around, that there is not a problem, but there is, you know, and Chess can see that, you know. I know it's a job and I know it's a charity, but, you know, they're imperfect people, you know, they will sit down with you, they will go through everything with you, like what you need, what your support is, can we help you with this, can we help you with that? So yeah, it, you know, they're fantastic.
In terms of the actual services they offered you to help you, what type of things are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about support through, you know, just getting a proper claim in, that someone can actually see your cause and you know this is what they should be on. For my disabilities, are like where I can go, you know, put me onto other groups that can help me out through other stuff that I've got going on. They gave me therapy, which saved my life at the end of the day. You know, they got me rehoused. You know, I mean, what more can you ask for? If you want to be helped, there is help there if you go the right routes.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that therapy aspect as well. Mm-hmm. Was a large part of you getting out of the predicament that you were in is getting your mind right,
exactly.
First and foremost.
Exactly, yeah.
How difficult is that to do for you?
It's probably one of the hardest things that you could do in a situation from where I came from. You've got to want it yourself, you know. No one can tell you, that person who's going through it, that, you know, everything's going to be okay. You know, you've got to want it deep down. You've got to want to get better. You've got to want it, you know. Even for reasons that I probably haven't got now, like with my family and that. I mean, I haven't got that. So it's hard to actually put my finger on why I actually turned it around at that point. But obviously there was something. I can't think of it off my head at the moment. But, you know, it was hard, you know.
And we've spoken about how paramount mental health is, and it's so widespread at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And the stigma as well is still very much there.
Yeah.
Is that something you really want to change, is the stigma towards mental health?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but just for someone to listen to someone, you know, and take in what they're actually saying and believe in that person, because if you don't, then there is no help for them, you know, and people just don't understand mental health. You know, it's always discarded and pushed under the carpet, you know, but it's there, it's black and white, it's there, it's in your face. You know, and there should be more help out there for people, you know, through either the government. I mean, they say they're pumping all this resources in, but I mean, I don't see it. But you know, they say they do. But yeah, you need to get to the grassroots of people's problems. And until then, you know.
And everyone who you came across that was in the same predicament as you, homeless, is that a common theme, that they all seem to have these mental health problems a lot of the time?
Exactly, and you can see it. I mean, a lot of people won't see it. I mean, unless you've walked the walk, you can't talk the talk. You know, if you've been through it, you kind of see without even speaking to him, like, what's going on? You know, it's kind of weird, but, you know, until society turns around and goes, look, this is a problem, we've got to sort it out, you know, people are just going to float around with their mental health and never get better, you know, because they haven't got the support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's basically what it is, the support, you know, and chess off of that support, you know. So if there's anyone out there who needs that help and wants to get better, come to chess, you know, they will help you.
And there's a large part to be said about actually opening up and speaking about it as well, rather than keeping it inside.
It's perfect
medicine, isn't it?
It is. It's not a cure. It's not going to cure you, but it will make you a hell of a lot better. Mm-hmm. And you can open up to more things then. When someone believes in you a bit more, it's something, you know, you've got something to live for, you know. You can come out of that fog and try again, you know.
And obviously, all the tough things that you've had in the past, you're now taking the steps forward to rebuilding your life.
I am, yeah.
Where are you at the moment?
At the moment, I've been living in accommodation of my own for a year now. I'd done a college course for a year with maths and English, which, you know, I didn't have as a child, you know, education. So I decided to try it again, or another go at, rather. So, yeah, I mean, everything's looking a lot better, you know, than I was a year ago.
And there's that sense of hope as well, that you now have
a
world of possibilities.
Oh, yes. It's definitely opened up, you know, possibilities of what I can do or what I want to do, you know. So, yeah, it's a lot better. I'm a lot happier than I was. I mean, I'm still a work in progress, but, you know, I'm a lot better than I was a year ago, you know, through the help I've had, definitely.
You say work in progress, does that mean that the mental health problems occasionally rear their ugly head every so often, and then it's a case of batting that aside again when it comes?
Pretty much. I suffer from PTSD complex, which I can get triggered. Doesn't happen every day. I mean, I can still disconnect and I've got a trigger process that I am at the moment trying to get on top of. You know, if I can win that, you know, you can do anything, and that's basically what I'm working towards.
Yeah, but now you have the tools at your disposal. That means you can combat that
when it comes around. Which going back to therapy, you know, which chess gave me that therapy for a year. You can't have therapy for six sessions and say you're going to get better for people with mental health issues. It's just not going to happen, because you'll be straight off the boat and straight back to where you are. People need intense help for a longer time, for a longer period, you know. And you know, if you've gone through it, you can see it. And that's what I can see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks my heart sometimes to see these people who are not getting help,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially the ones that want the help. And maybe they're not out so outgoing and don't want to ask people, you know. You've got to go to them and ask them.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I see it.
Going back to your family as well, your kids, and you haven't seen them at all. You've had no contact with them since. No. Is that something you'd love to see change once you're fully back on the tracks?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, every father's going to want that to have that bond with their child again. If I look back now to say, like, how I was, yeah, I can understand how I was and why they probably didn't want to be in contact so much, because, you know, some people don't like that and can't handle that. Can't handle how people turn out or the way they go. So, but yeah, I mean, of course I do. Yeah, and then when I'm back into my fully foot mode, then I will throw out the olive branch and try again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've just got to see how it goes and work on it for the next, I don't know, 6 months to a year, and then see where I'm at then. But yeah, of course I do. Yeah, I do. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely,
definitely.
And to round this interview off, I think it's only right that we talk about chess one last time.
Yeah.
What do you say to everyone that's part of that organisation that's helped you out of this?
I would just like to say to chess, like, you saved my life, and, you know, I've got so much gratitude for you, and, you know, if it wasn't for you, then I wouldn't be here. And you know, they're such a lovely, people. You know, they've got empathy. They will see you as a cause, and they will try and work with you. And you know, and yeah, and I thank you, and a big shout out to Chess. You know, big shouts. You know, you really done it for me, and I do owe you. You know what I mean? I really do.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that've been in a similar situation and probably say the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah,
and definitely. Yeah. And with that, that's a perfect way to finish. I just want to thank you so much again for sharing your story, because I think a lot of people, when they see homelessness, they only see statistics. Yes. And they don't actually hear from someone who's actually experienced it.
You're right.
And I think that makes all the difference. So thank you for adding that human touch to it on this podcast.
No worries. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
To Chess Homeless, visit their website chesshomeless.org. Follow Essex Live on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram, or go to our website essexlive.news.
Ben jij prijsbewust? Nu extra MB's bij Mijn Sim Only. Voor €12,50 per maand, onbeperkte minuten of sms'jes en 3500 MB 4G internet tijdens de Ben Prijsbewust Weken. Kijk op ben.nl.